Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 40. Agyas chasradanas cha. Samshayatma vinashati. Nainam lokostina paro. Na sukham samshayatmanaha. Agya, a fool has no knowledge in standard scriptures. Cha, and Ashvadana, without faith in revealed scriptures. Cha, also Samshaya, of doubts. Atma, a person. Vinashati, falls back. Na, never. I am in this loka, world. Asti, there is. Na, nor. Paraha, and the next life. Na, not. Sukham, happiness. Samshaya, doubtful. Atmanaha, of the person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. For but out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And even though some have knowledge, and even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, they actually have no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all these above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons who have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas or in the disciples' succession and thereby obtain success. Agyas chasradanas cha samshayatma vinashati nainam lokastina aparo. Nasukam samshayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So, what are the different levels of doubt that are mentioned here?
Fear.
What's that?
Fear.
What's the lowest level of doubt? What's the person who has the least amount of faith? Yeah. They have no knowledge of the standard scriptures. So they have no faith in or knowledge. So what's the difference between faith and knowledge? Does anyone know? Bhakti Devi, what's the difference between faith and knowledge?
Knowledge is like a seed, and faith is like a sprout.
Say that again.
Knowledge is like a seed,
yeah,
and faith is like a sprout, according to Śrīla Bhaktivedanta.
According to who?
Shiva Maharaj.
Sridhar Maharaj.
Shiva Maharaj.
Shiva Maharaj. Shiva Maharaj.
Yeah, his books, he's describing.
Oh, okay. But, it's okay. Can you give me more practical? What is it? What is knowledge? What is the difference? Yes.
Maybe knowledge is something you know, but faith is something you practice because you have faith in the knowledge.
Yeah. Yes.
Faith is something for the others know, but you believe them. Knowledge is something you know yourself.
How do you have faith in something? Well, actually, there is blind faith. There's real faith is what? Real faith is described in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Real faith is when one is in the mode of goodness. That's when you have real faith. When you actually see things as they are. When one senses, what does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? In the three modes of material nature, sarva-dvareshu dehesmin prakasho pujayate gyanam yada tata vidya viridam sattvamiti yuta. That one is said to be in the mode of goodness. The manifestation, the mode of goodness becomes manifest when all the gates of the body become illuminated with knowledge. In other words, knowledge means that you have at least theoretical knowledge. You have at least theoretical knowledge. Knowledge, Prabhupada actually says at the end of this chapter, there are two aspects of knowledge. The yoga system described in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, where eternal activity is performed by the living entity. The yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possession. The other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions. Oh. We find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding one's own self, or one's constitutional position, and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So knowledge includes understanding. But faith means that although you don't have direct experience of something, but because you have enough experience of something, you have faith in that. Faith means something sublime. What does it say? What's the first word? Vishvashukarhe, Sudri Dhanishchai, Krishna Bhakti Kaile, Sabra Kama Kritahai. That faith means something, actual faith means that if I engage all my activities, everything I have, everything in Krishna's service, then I'll become Krishna conscious. So that's the definition of Vishvashukarhe, Kore. Shabda, Shabde, Vishvashukarhe, Sudri Dhanishchai, Krishna Bhakti Sarva Kama Kritahai, Kaile Samas Kritahai. Faith means that if I engage myself completely in Krishna service, then the result is that I'll become Krishna conscious. And Krishna consciousness is that development of faith. In order to develop that faith, we need knowledge what to do. Because Krishna reveals himself if we do the right thing. And we have the right attitude, which includes the right attitude, the right activities, the right understanding. So all these things are described to us by the process of knowledge. And when we apply them with faith, then we get realization. And Krishna gives us realization. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. So knowledge of how to tesham satatam yuktana. And where do we get it? Machchita machkata prana bodhi antash parashpara. That the subject matter is Krishna being the source of everything, and then we hear from the devotees how to engage what? Prana and chitta. Prana means the life energies, the life force, and chitta means our consciousness. And so when we engage our consciousness and our life force in Krishna's active in service, which is called Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam. So the priti has to do with the prana, and the yukta has, well, that's the prana, and the chitta is our consciousness in Krishna's service. In other words, the more enthusiastically our consciousness becomes to serve Krishna, the more we use our energies, our prana in Krishna's service, then didami buddhi yogam tam. Then Krishna gives us realization. So faith, that if I engage my activities, my consciousness in Krishna, then Krishna will help me and give me realization. And the final realization, tesham eva anukam paratam, that Krishna directly reveals himself, we remember him, and the result is we become ecstatic. And in that ecstasy, itaidam so samridhi, begin here. Basmat sat krutejana, yanagni saru karmani basmat sat krutejana. Then all the reactions of our sinful activities are burned up in the fire of knowledge, in the fire of consciousness of Krishna. And then we actually see things as they are. In other words, if we have faith, we engage our activities, and we engage our consciousness in Krishna's service, then the result is that Krishna will be merciful to us, and then we'll get transcendental knowledge. We'll realize transcendental knowledge. So theoretically, we get knowledge, and then we engage that knowledge with faith, then by Krishna's mercy, we get realization. Is that clear? And I did something to do with the sprout and the seed.
Yeah, you apply knowledge and then.
Well, we have to have some experience or faith, shraddha. Otherwise, we won't apply the knowledge. It's like someone can you can memorize. It'll explain in this purport so many different things. But if you have no faith, you're not going to apply it. You can attend a Bhagavad Gita class and memorize everything, but it may just be an academic exercise. At the end of the day, you don't do anything about it because you have no faith in the words. So that's what it explains here in this purport. People are like animals who are called. What are people like animals called? In Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna call them? Mudha, yes. There's always a coloration between these two. The mam diskritino mudha. So the lowest people, they're called mudhas, and Prabhupada gives the words, the definition, as those who are foolish. So one may be a great academic scholar, write thousands of books, but according to our definition, that yes, yatma buddhi kudu pe tritadu ke swadi kalatradishu boma ijadi itirta buddhe sahale nakari chish kaneshva bageshus eva gokara. Go is cow and kara means ass. So one is on the level of a cow or an ass. Of course, if you go to a university and the interviewer comes and asks you, what do you think of professor so and so? Probably been enough to say, I think he's either a cow or an ass. It'd probably be your last interview at the university. But, practically speaking, if one has no knowledge of revealed scriptures and no faith in them, then one is on the same level as a cow or an ass. If we don't know that we're eternal, then we're in the bodily identification. Then it was the same thing as a cow. If you would ask a cow, who are you? If you can talk cow language, then the cow will say, I'm a cow. And if you ask a person, who are you? They'll say, I'm so-and-so. They'll identify themselves with the body. Maybe they're a little bit more sophisticated than a cow, but probably much more harmful than a cow also. So those who have no faith in or in the revealed scriptures, because people will say you're fanatics. That's the general thing. But Prabhupada defines revealed scriptures as two things. One is that we're eternal. So is that knowledge or is that science? Is that sentiment or is that science? If we think scriptures are just some kind of, you know, man-made books made by some fanatical people in order to repress people. But actually, the revealed scriptures really deal with two things. The eternality of the self and the existence of God. Neither which any sane person can deny. Who can deny the fact that the body's changing, but we're not changing? And therefore we're eternal. It's the most obvious thing that exists. If you're not aware of the fact that you're existing, then it's very hard to preach to you, because there's no one to preach to. There's no one to explain it to. But if you accept that you exist, and you always existed as far as you can remember, can anyone say, well, there was a time I can remember I didn't exist? Yes, I was 5 years old, but I really didn't exist at that time. No, anyone who can remember, you know, as far as we can remember, we've always existed. We can't remember a time when we didn't exist. And as far as we can remember, the body that we had doesn't exist anymore. People may say it grew, but grew into what? What happened to it? If you have $5 and it grows into $1 million, you can't say it's the same $5. No, it's the same $5, it just became $1 million. It's the same body, it just changed. So anyone who thinks like that, they could probably explain to us what is the sound of one hand clapping. It's about on the same level. Clapping, clapping, not just shaking. And the existence of God is obvious because the whole material universe is being controlled by time, which to us must be God, because we can't change time. We can't stop it from changing even for a moment. And therefore, even if we don't directly perceive a person behind the universe, we perceive his energy in the form of time, which is ever existing and ever influential in every aspect of the universe. So no one can exist, deny the existence of the self or superior intelligence, controlling intelligence. But those who have no knowledge of these things, they're called mudhas, or they have no faith in or knowledge of the revealed scriptures. And that's most of the world nowadays. Even though they may say they're religious, how many people actually have any knowledge of their scripture? And if they know their scripture, how much of it makes any sense? Now there's another standard, because sometimes mudas, they hear knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and they actually make some sense to them. So then there's another stage. Even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, they actually have no faith in these words. So we just like in Prabhupada, if you ever heard the lectures with this doctor, Dr. Patel, in the morning walks, he knew the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart. But he had no faith in any of it. For him, it was just an academic book, practically speaking. Or maybe a religious book, but nothing really to apply or not to apply under the directions of a person who knows what it's all about. So they can cite passages, they could even memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita, but they don't do anything about it. They have no faith in it. And even they have, as it says here, such persons, and even though they have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they don't believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So they believe in the Bhagavad Gita, they just don't believe in the speaker. They think Krishna says that matat parataram nanya kinchit asti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam proktam sutra mayi gana iva. Everything is, O conqueror wealth, everything rests on me, just like pearls are strung in a thread. But Dakpara, there's no truth superior to me. All things are resting on me, just like pearls are strung on a thread. But they think Krishna is just exaggerating. Everyone says they're God, so why? He can say he's God too. Just like everyone else thinks they're God, so he thinks he's God. But they don't have any faith and worship Krishna. They believe in Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Krishna says so many good things in Bhagavad Gita. The soul is eternal. He talks about karma yoga. He talks about astanga yoga. There's many good things in Bhagavad Gita. But they just don't believe in Krishna. Or they think, as Krishna says, avyakta vyaktam apanam mandite mama buddhaya param bhava majanato mamavyam anutama. They think that Krishna has come out of the Brahman. Superior to Krishna is Brahman. And we have some respect for Krishna because he's realized he's God, just like when the Mayavadis, when Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Prakashananda Saraswati, and he sat there where they washed their feet. Generally people in India at that time, especially the sannyasis, they'd walk barefoot. And when they come to a place, then they wash their feet. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed his feet and then sat down in such a dirty place. And he exhibited an effulgence more brilliant than 10 million suns. So that's quite bright. That's a lot of effulgence. You definitely eat a lot of vitamin D from such an effulgence. Get your whole year supply in a moment. So everyone was watching him exhibiting this amazing feat of exhibiting 10,000 suns simultaneously. But they were thinking, oh, there's Narayan. This man has realized he's Narayan. The sannyasi is realized. But they think that everyone is Narayan. Just some people have realized it and some haven't. So he's good sannyasi because at least he knows he's Narayan. But unfortunately, he's a little depressed. He's a depressed Narayan. Therefore, Prakashananda Saraswati came and offered his hand to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, well, I realize you're depressed. Unfortunately, we have no medicine here for you. But come, we give you a little prasadam. Maybe you'll feel better. So he had realized he's Narayan. He has the effulgence of 10,000 suns. But still, they think he's a little depressed for some reason. So such a conception that God is just an ordinary person, or he's just extraordinary, but we're all extraordinary. We're all equal to him. So that's called, they have faith in the revealed scripture, but they have no faith in the personality of Godhead. So such persons have no standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. They fall down. If you don't have faith in Krishna, then eventually the modes of material nature will drag you into the lower levels of faith. You may believe in Bhagavad Gita, but if you don't have faith in Krishna, then you're an offender, and gradually you'll sink down to having knowledge of the scripture, but no faith in it, or having no faith or knowledge in the scripture. Gradually you'll sink down to the lower levels of consciousness. Out of all the above mentioned persons, though have no faith and are always doubtful, make no progress. So the Vedic literature is meant to gradually help us make progress. If you have no knowledge, if you're averse to reading Bhagavad Gita or hearing it, and you're not going to follow it, even if you know you hear it. In other words, we can give so many classes, and everyone can think, oh, this is a great class. I laughed, I stayed awake, I don't know what they said. I don't really care what they said, but at least I didn't fall asleep, so I'm a good person. No, the whole aim of class is to do something. The whole aim of the knowledge is to do something. Otherwise, we're on that level, even when we're here in class, as it says here, when they all such poor persons, they have knowledge of the revealed scriptures, but they don't do anything. They have no faith. So we're also like that. We hear these scriptures and we don't do anything. It's like, it's an academic exercise. Or even we recite passages from Bhagavad Gita, and we believe in Bhagavad Gita, but we still don't believe that Krishna is actually God, and that we should surrender to him. As Prabhupada once said to one of his sannyasis, One of the problems in the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. Yeah, we think, well, Bhagavad Gita is a good book. There's a lot of interesting things we can find out how to live a good material life. But as far as actually taking it seriously and everything that Krishna says, believing in it, oh, that's a little extreme. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world or in the next. So, if we know nothing about scripture, we're animals. We have to simply engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And that's the goal of our life, to improve those things, if you're an advanced materialist. Otherwise, you're just satisfied with the McDonald's hamburger every day. As long as you fill your stomach up and you have a nice some place to sleep, life is good. Maybe you can have a little sex life, you know, then that's the cherry on the top. And once in a while you can get together with your friends and gossip. So that's animal life, and those who are a little bit more serious, they actually go to church or the temple or whatever. They hear that that it's good to memorize these songs, just like we have sing every morning, the Guruvastika prayers. Samsarada, and we have no idea what we're singing. We could be singing, you know, some cinema song. But we're just doing it because we're supposed to be there. And, you know, it seems like a nice song. But we have no idea what we're singing. We're singing it. So that's the same thing as people, they can recite the verses, but they have no idea what it's all about. And some people have faith in the verses. They actually believe that there's good things in the verses, but they don't follow them. They actually get an understanding, but they don't follow it. And others, they actually believe in the scriptures. They may even follow it, but they have doubt Krishna, if he's actually God. If there's actually, you know, he's the controller of everything. For them, therefore, there can't be happiness whatsoever. For them, there's no happiness. Those who have no faith in, without faith in God and revealed word, find no good in this world or in the next. For them, there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith, thereby raised to the platform of knowledge. So, if we even learn a little bit and then follow it with faith, trying to elevate ourselves towards Krishna consciousness, then we get knowledge. Krishna will give us knowledge. And that knowledge means that we become more expert in two things. One, expert in seeing things properly, and then applying that properly in terms of serving Krishna and his devotees more expertly. So real knowledge is to serve Krishna, to understand what Krishna wants, what his devotees want, and then to serve those instructions expertly. That's knowledge. Otherwise, we can know so many things, but if we don't become a better servant of Krishna and his devotees, then our knowledge is useless. Only that knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. Then when we get that knowledge and we apply it, then we can get spirit. Then Krishna says, Didami buddhi yogam tam, or tesham eva nukam bharatam. Krishna ultimately reveals himself, and then we get real spiritual understanding, not just theoretical knowledge, but realized knowledge. So then Prabhupada sums it up again. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow the footsteps of great acharyas under the disciples' succession and thereby attain success. So we should hear from the great acharyas, especially Prabhupada, serve their instructions, which means to follow their footsteps, and therefore attain success. Otherwise, trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etam trayam tyajat etanyapi Itan. Eterva mukta kantiya tamal dwara srivyarnura acharat yatamash acharat yatamana shreyas tatoyati puramgatim. That there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. A man who becomes free from these three gates performs acts which are conducive to self-realization, and thus he attains a transcendental destination. And then, yakshastra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata yasasadim avatnoti nasukam naparam gatim. That those who give up shastra, yaksha vidim, the instructions of shastra, not following them, yakshastra vidim usrija, to give up, vartate kamakar, and act according to their whim, or according to lust, anger, and greed, nisasadim avapnoti nasukam naparam, obtain neither peace, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. So there's not really an alternative. Well, we can learn these scriptures, there are so many things to learn, or we can just eat prasadam and go back to Godhead. It's not really like that, because unless we get knowledge, we won't even know how to eat prasadam properly. There's an art of eating prasadam. The difference between moving the hand and putting the food in the mouth, and then hopefully moving the teeth to chew them, and actually meditating on Krishna, that this is Krishna's mercy, and tasting Krishna's presence in the prasadam with devotion, with appreciation. One is an act of worship, the act is an act of, you know, some other act. And that takes knowledge. Everything takes knowledge, and then when we have faith, then we can actually apply that knowledge, and then if we apply the knowledge, then we'll actually experience Krishna consciousness. Tasma shastram pramanam te kari kari vivastito kyatva shastram vidanokta karma karam karma kartum viharasi. Therefore one should know what is duty, what is not one's duty, by the regulations of scripture. And knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So whether that knowledge comes directly from the scripture or from someone who's repeating scripture, it's the same. But somehow or another we have to understand, according to time, place, and audience, exactly what we're supposed to do and how to do it to please Krishna. And if we do that, then we'll become gradually advanced in Krishna consciousness. If we don't know what to do to please Krishna, and even we try to please Krishna, we may not be very successful. We may do things which are unpleasing to Krishna, not pleasing to Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. But if we want to please Krishna, then Krishna will move us, probably merciful, into the direction when also our actions will be more aligned with what we should do, or if we lack on that area, that part of devotion.
You mean if we just want to please Krishna, then automatically we'll please Krishna?
Yes, some devotees say like this.
Yes, a lot of devotees say so many things.
I mean, they don't say only this, but also that. Yeah, that Krishna is very much.
Everyone thinks whatever they're doing is good, however crazy it might be. That Krishna is pleased when the devotees are happy. So when I make myself happy, Krishna is pleased. Krishna, you know, come up with something crazy, so many conceptions. Krishna wouldn't want to see me frustrated, so I shouldn't frustrate myself. I should do whatever I feel like doing. Then Krishna will be pleased, because I won't be frustrated. Yeah, that's how we've gotten in the material world in the first place. I'm sure we all came here to please Krishna. I'm sure we think we're still pleasing him. There's so many devotees, they leave the Hare Krishna movement. And you say, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm always remembering Krishna. Do you chant japa? No. I always remember Krishna within my mind. I don't know if they really believe it, what they're talking about, but they probably, you know, remember Krishna once every other Jamashtami when they come to the temple. But they believe they're always in Krishna consciousness. Actually, they believe, a lot of them, they believe they're more advanced than the devotees in the temple. These poor devotees in the temple, they had to be in the temple to remember Krishna. But I always remember Krishna. Doesn't matter what I do. Krishna is always there to protect me. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.